We crave order. That is, things arranged and operating in a certain way in relation to one another according to a particular pattern. Another way to put that would be just to say, order is the way you want things to work in your life so your life works. Whether it is laying the clothes out the night before, whether it is filling the coffee pot the night before, whether it is arranging papers on your desk in a certain way, or whether it is organizing the apps on your smartphone in a way that makes complete sense to you, we crave order in our lives. Even if your order looks like chaos to someone else, you crave order and you work for it because it's how your life works. In our house, I'm in charge of breakfast. There is an order to breakfast that I know and love. Kids are up at 6:15. 5 waffles go in the toaster unless someone is having oatmeal, in which case a kettle goes on the stove. A hard-boiled egg or an egg to be boiled goes on for Braden. Then I go back to wake Braden up a second time. Gresham is always going to have an omelet. If we have sausage, he gets sausage in it. Bailey will always ask for a scrambled egg, only she calls it a flat egg. So Bailey gets flat eggs in the morning. Our youngest, Brinley, this is where it gets a little tricky. She's either going to ask for a whole egg, which is a hard-boiled egg, or she's going to ask for a flat egg, which you already know is a scrambled egg, only she wants it a certain color. Now, we don't color her eggs because that would just be weird. But she's on a kick now where she's ordering flat pink eggs in the morning. Gracie, on the other hand, is not going to touch an egg with a 10-foot pole, so there's no point in asking her. She gets a spoon of peanut butter or some other form of protein to start her day. Milk or OJ all around, and that is breakfast. I can do breakfast. Breakfast has order. Breakfast works. I know how things go. When I'm put in charge of lunch, however, things go south really quickly because there are entirely too many options. Too many variations, too many little things around who gets which type of vegetable. Who will actually eat carrots? Who will do something creative with the carrots to make them disappear off their plate without actually putting them in their mouths? Who will eat peppers? Who wants which kind of sandwich, and how in the world do I cut these sandwiches so that they will eat them? Lunch is difficult. There's no order to lunch. I can't do lunch. When things are out of order, or when things are in order, excuse me, life, it works. You know how to operate. It makes sense. When things get out of order, that's when all sorts of problems begin to arise. Because that is true, because life begins to feel chaotic and upended when things get out of order, think for a minute about how much of your time and energy is spent trying to stay the tide of chaos in your life. Think about how hard you work to keep order. And then all it takes is a phone call. All it takes is news of another shooting. All it takes is notice that there's going to be another rate increase. All it takes is notice that the company is going in a different direction and it doesn't include you. All it takes is a turn for the worse. All it takes is the loss of a loved one. All it takes is the loss of a loved one around the holidays. And then it's a perpetual reminder every year that no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't keep order. Chaos crept in. Things happened that were out of your control. You couldn't make life continue to run smoothly. There are too many variables, too many things that could go wrong, and too many that often do. And when that happens, we look to the familiar. We look to find order in the midst of chaos. It's why so many of you are here this evening. It's why churches everywhere are full on this night. It's what you do. You go to church on Christmas Eve. Even if you don't go often or at any other time of the year, You go to church on Christmas Eve because you're with family, and that's what family has always done, or you are with friends, and this holiday is about being with loved ones. And even if you are here by yourself, it's still something familiar. It's how things are done. For many of us, familiar is exactly what is needed right now. In your lives that are chaotic, in this world that seems to have lost its mind, we need once again to have the opportunity to peer over the shoulder of the Virgin Mary and see the innocence of a baby. We need to know that the cattle are lowing and little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, which is probably garbage, because if there are cattle lowing and he was born in a stable and laid in a feed trough, he's not quiet, he's probably wailing. But we don't come looking for wailing. We come looking for peace and quiet and order and what is familiar. And I think Luke gets this. Look at the backdrop of Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. The Roman Empire at the height of its power. Augustus has taken the throne following the death of his stepfather Julius Caesar. He has placed himself at the head of this growing empire, refers to himself as its savior, claims that he has brought justice and peace. In some cases, even refers to himself as the Son of God. Does this sound familiar? And now he wants to further order his empire. It's time to register, it's time to count, it's time to tax everyone. It's time to further order his kingdom with himself at the center of it. And if we are honest, this hits too close to home. Because we spend a lot of time and energy ordering life in such a way that we are shielded at its center. But here's the good news of Christmas. Here's the culmination of Advent. Here's the fulfillment of all of our expectations. Jesus was not born at the center of power and privilege and comfort and wealth and achievement and influence. Jesus was not born in the center of order. Jesus was born on the fringe, outside of order, on the edge of chaos, if you will. Now, the easy thing to say about this is that it's God's way, or it's Luke's way of speaking against the establishment. The Messiah, the true Messiah, God's Son, was not born at the center of influence and culture and government and power. The temptation is to say then that it shows us how God feels about those things. And while there's some truth to that, while we know that none of these things will stand in comparison to God, that no kingdom formed by man will outlast or be able to come against the kingdom of God, maybe that is not all Luke is suggesting here by placing Jesus' birth on the fringe of order, by placing God's announcement of the birth of his Son in the hands of shepherds rather than in the temple or the central place of worship in Rome. Maybe there's another message here, one that we all need to hear as we seek the order of the silent night in the midst of the chaos that can be our lives. Perhaps, as seminary president David Loos suggests, God is telling us that the way things usually are isn't good enough. He goes on to say, it's almost like God is whispering to us something that deep down we know already, but are afraid to admit, even to ourselves. These lives we so carefully created, this world we work so hard to manage, our lives, as beautiful and precious and wonderful as they may be, are also vulnerable and fragile and ultimately insufficient. That is a frightening truth. When you consider the amount of energy and effort you place into managing and ordering and making a calculable, predictable, comfortable life for yourself, the thought that underneath it all, you find that you are still vulnerable and broken and left wanting, that is a difficult and painful truth to come to terms with. Why? Because it is messy. And we don't want messy. We want order. We want put together. But that's not what Luke is offering us here. That's not what Advent, the arriving, Emmanuel, God with us, is all about. It's not about things being ordered and put together. That's not what God came in Jesus to offer us. Jesus did not come to make your life a little better. Jesus did not come to make your life a little more bearable. Jesus did not come to stay the tide of chaos. Jesus did not come to uphold the life you have worked hard to create for yourself. He did not come to preserve order. Jesus came to turn the tables of your temple over. Jesus came to reorder your life. Jesus came to rescue and redeem you. Jesus came to resurrect you out of this life, not just rehabilitate the life that you are currently living. Jesus came to transform your life, not just make you a better version of who you already are. He came to make you something new. And he came in the midst of the chaos. He came to offer you peace that you cannot create for yourself. Because no matter how ordered your life is, without the hope of Jesus, it will always be proven to be left wanting. In the same way that Jesus was born into the power that was Rome, he came to be born into whatever power you are subject to, whatever empire you are subject to. He came to be born into whatever tyranny you find yourself at the mercy of. Jesus came to enter into your struggle for a life that is ordered and put together, a life that is driven by desires of your own making or the desires someone else has for you, the ones that leave you feeling exhausted and used up to the point that you find yourself reaching for cheap and temporary only to be left empty. Jesus came to meet you right in that place, as chaotic as it is, right in the fringe between order and chaos, right in the place of your fear and doubt. And he came to invite you to something new. He invites you to let go of spending yourself working for a future of your own making, and instead offers you a future that he has already secured for you. In the same way that Mary and Joseph trusted God with the unknown that was ahead of them, God is inviting you to trust him with reordering your life. Because when you do, when you let go of the burden of having it all together, you find the role of the shepherds in this story makes a great deal more sense. You find yourself leaning into the message of what they had seen and heard. The silence of heaven had finally been broken. God was coming to make all things new, to bring peace that we could never secure for ourselves. That announcement that the angels make, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests, that peace is not just that things are easy or that they go well. The root of that word means that things are made whole. Things are put together the way that they were intended to be all along. Those untrustworthy, unclean, unwanted men who lived in a state of chaos now dared to hope that this was not all there was, that there was something more, that maybe, just maybe, God was doing something new, and that it was for everyone. And it was unexpected, and it was unlikely, and it was unwarranted, and it was out of order, and it was beautiful. And that is the hope of Christmas. And that is what we have the opportunity to embrace in the same way that the shepherds did. What we have the opportunity to go and share in the same way that the shepherds did. To go and say, it's okay not to have it all together. None of us do. But Christ came into the midst of that chaos and wants to do something new in it. Amen.